Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control. My sugar was out of control. Waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 461. In case you have missed any of my shows or want to re-listen or whatever, they are on my website and in the EFR archives. My website is www.pastor-steve.com. Got all the stuff on that website. We're going to be getting into the letter of Paul to the assembly at Ephesus. That is the book of Ephesians. The nature of this letter requires, the way it was written, for a continuous reading without a break. That's the way it was written. If I don't read it that way, it's not going to be presented in the manner in which it was written. I'm not going to stop for verse numbers. I will give all the chapter notes and verse-by-verse explanations if they require it after the reading of the first chapter. I will not stop. I'm going to read continually, so bear with me. It requires this. It's a different type of letter. He just goes on and on and on. He's long-winded in this letter. So it's going to be a little different than my normal format. Bear with me. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Shaul, an emissary of Yeshua Messiah, by the desire of Elohim, to the set apart ones who are in Ephesus and true to Messiah Yeshua, favor to you and peace from Elohim, our Father, and the Master Yeshua Messiah. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Messiah, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be set apart and blameless before him in love, having previously ordained us to placement as sons through Yeshua Messiah to himself, according to the good pleasure of his desire, to the praise of the esteem of his favor with which he favored us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his favor, which he has lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, having made known to us the secret of his desire according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him to administer at the completion of time, to gather together in one all in Messiah, both which are in the heavens and which are on the earth, in him, in whom also we did obtain an inheritance, being previously ordained according to the purpose of him working all matters according to the counsel of his desire, for us to be the praise of his esteem, those having first trusted in Messiah, in whom you also, having heard the word of the truth, the good news of your deliverance, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the set-apart Spirit of promise, who is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his esteem. For this reason, I too, having heard of your belief in the Master Yeshua and your love for all these set-apart ones, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Elohim of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of esteem, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you know what is the expectation of his calling and what are the riches of the esteem of his inheritance in the set-apart ones, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who are believing, according to the working of his mighty strength, which he wrought in the Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and mastery and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all under his feet and gave him to be head over all to the assembly, which is his body, the completeness of him who fills all in all. Period. That ends chapter 1. Now I have to go back verse by verse. If I read it any other way, it wouldn't be read correctly. So you have to bear with me. That's the way these letters are written. Verse 1. Of chapter 1, reference Acts chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. The book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 19 through 21. And the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 1. Chapter 19, verse 1. Dropping down to verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That sets the establishment of predestination. Now, a lot of people refute that. I'm sorry. This is what Paul wrote. You can like it or not like it. I can't help that. Reference for verse 4, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. Continuing on in verse 5, which backs this up, having previously ordained us to placement as sons. Previously ordained. Predestination. It also will say that in verse 11. We'll get to that in a minute. It has previously ordained us to adoption as sons. That is incorrect in this passage. It's placement as sons, because Israel is not a foreign people. We are his inheritance. We are not strangers, where he would adopt a child from another family. We are not from another family. We were not adopted. We were placed in our proper place as sons. Previously ordained us to placement as sons. We are the sons of Elohim. We are not adopted. We will be placed in our proper status as sons. The words used for adoption here, which is in error, is number 5206, huiothesia. And in this passage, it is placed as. It can be used for adoption, but he previously ordained us. Therefore, we are his children, not adopted children. We are his original children. All right? Adoption is somebody outside the family. We are not outside the family. Verse 7 of chapter 1, reference the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 1, 14. Dropping down to verse 11, we see again that we were previously ordained. Predestination. He knew us before the foundation of the world. All right. World here in chapter 4 is the order of the arrangement, not the physical planet. Again, down in chapter 11, previously ordained. Before he made this whole system. Okay? Verse 14 of chapter 1. Who is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? All right. Israel had strayed. We were in apostasy. We could not fulfill the Torah. Nobody ever made a complete life in Torah except Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, we were purchased by the shedding of his blood at Calvary. And he is redeeming, through Yeshua, his strayed children that were sold into bondage to slavery of sin. Slavery of sin. Yeshua confronted the Edomites. We were never in bondage to any man. He says, anybody that sins is in bondage to sin. See, all of this stuff ties together. It's all allied. Scripture backs up Scripture. This is not random. Let's go down to verse 18 of chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding. You can reference the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 45. That's 24:45. And verse 20 of chapter 1. Seating him at his right hand. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. Verse 22, you can reference for verse 22, and he put all under his feet. The reference for that is Psalm 8, verse 6. Psalm 8, verse 6. And both verses 22 and 23, you can reference the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 18, chapter 1:18, and that ends chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. I will do the same method for chapter 2, a continuous read, and then the breakdown and explanations. I will not give verse numbers during the reading. Verse 1, I'll give that. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, as also the rest. But Elohim, who is rich in compassion, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By favor you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Messiah, Yeshua, in order to show in the coming ages the exceeding riches of his favor in kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by favor you have been saved through belief, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of Elohim. It is not by works, so that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Elohim prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once nations in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no expectation and without Elohim in the world. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and having broken down the partition of the barrier, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the Torah of the commands in dogma, so as to create in himself one renewed man from the two, thus making peace, and to completely restore to favor both of them unto Elohim in one body through the stake, having destroyed the enmity by it. And having come, he brought as good news peace to you who were far off, and peace to those near. Because through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the set-apart ones and members of the household of Elohim, having been built upon the foundation of the emissaries and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, being joined together, grows into a set apart dwelling place in Yahweh, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of Elohim in the Spirit. Now that ends chapter 2. It's all one continuous long sentence. I mean, it was meant to be read with the eyes, but the way it is written requires a continuous reading. I'm sorry about that, but this format has to be a little different. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Okay? Through verse 5, verses 1 through 5, that's a mistake on my part, of chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 13 of Colossians. Verse 2, you can also reference Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, just for verse 2. In which you walked according to the course of this world. Now, world again is order of arrangement. Now, whose order of arrangement? It tells you the ruler of the authority of the air, the prince and power of the air, and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, the devil. Okay? This world is in satanic arrangement, as we see today by all the evil that's going on, which comes from the devil. Okay? It's just terrible. So these are the sons of disobedience. Those are the servants of the devil, his minions. Verse 11, or verse 8 and 9, pardon me. Let's go to 8 and 9 here for an explanation. By favor, that's the grace of Yahweh, through belief, that's how you've been saved, okay? It was a gift. Verse 9, it is not by works so that no one should boast. You don't work your way into the kingdom. You have to accept Yahshua and then do works, because it says in Scripture, faith without works is dead. It means nothing. Because if you truly believe in Messiah, you're going to proclaim him out in the world. Verse 11. And you can reference 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Chapter 12, verse 2 for verse 11 here. Therefore, remember that you once nations in the flesh. In other words, this is not speaking of nations of dispersion. This is speaking that they were nations in the flesh, following the methods of the pagan nations around them, because these are Israelites in dispersion that he's talking to. But they were going along with what was going on in that country in which they were dispersed. In the flesh, they were, according to what was going on, in that foreign nation where they were in dispersion. Okay, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hand. They were being reviled by the Edomites, the Pharisees, those that were circumcised in Jerusalem. And they were not equal. They were not considered Israel. And he goes on to say, by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, you can circumcise Edomites all day long, and it does no good. They're not Israel. They're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. These children of the devil, they can go through all these rituals of Israel, and they will never be Israel. They're not going to make it. They are pretenders. They are insincere. They are fakers to deceive. They use this circumcision. Look, I'm circumcised. I'm an Israelite. No, you're not. Check your bloodline. You're an Edomite. Okay? He's speaking to the people in Ephesus, which was a Greek city, to Israelites that were raised in the Greek city. They were of pure Israelite blood, but their families had not circumcised these men when they were boys according to the Torah, because they were living in a foreign land that didn't practice circumcision. So it shows that circumcision or uncircumcision will not get you into or keep you out of the kingdom of heaven, okay? The kingdom of Yahweh. Because he understands that these children were never taught by their parents that they were to be circumcised. So they didn't do it. Doesn't set aside the requirement for circumcision for children of 8 days old. That's for children of Israelites that know the law on the eighth day. You understand? It's not setting aside circumcision. It's just not requiring circumcision of these people who are raised in ignorance. It was not done deliberately, therefore it was not sin. They did not know. And their redemption is through Yeshua Messiah, who covers over that sin. It's not sin to them. Okay? If you were never circumcised, your parents never had you circumcised, that's not going to keep you out of the kingdom of Yahweh. But once you know the law, and you have a son, he is to be circumcised on the eighth day. And if you do not do it, that sin does not go on him. It goes on you for not being obedient once you know the Torah, because that is a sign of Israel that we are circumcised. Okay, it's just a sign. You can get circumcised, but if you're a wicked, evil person, you're still not going to come into the kingdom of Yahweh with all the circumcision of these Edomites. They were never going to make it in. That's what he's talking about right here. The uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. The Judaizers. Verse 15. Okay. Reference Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 20. And the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. That's Colossians 2, 14 and 20. And Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 for verse 15. And 16, I do believe here. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the Torah, of the commands in dogma. Now, what's dogma? That's the tradition of the elders, the made-up ritualistic mumbo-jumbo claptrap that the Talmudists try to shove down the throats of the Israelites. Oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. No, you don't. Okay? If you don't wash your hands a certain way, if you don't wear a little beanie a certain way, no. The dogma of the Talmudist is the opposite of what Yahweh meant with the Torah. They take the Torah and twist it. And Yeshua freed us from that. He didn't free us from the actual Torah, because that is a guidebook for life, how to live your life. The Torah tells us how to do everything. It's very clear. Good advice. It'll keep you healthy, give you long life. It'll do all kinds of things. The Torah is there for a reason. Verse 16. And to completely restore to favor both of them unto Elohim in one body through the stake, having destroyed the enmity by it. We could never keep the whole Torah. And it says we're enemies of the Torah because of our sinful nature, etc., etc., we could never keep the Torah. Well, he realized that we were so imperfect in these bodies that we were going to violate a lot of the laws. So he made that sacrifice on that stake where he was impaled, not a cross, a stake, a vertical pole. And when they nailed his hands up above him and put all the weight on his arms, it pulls up the diaphragm and you can't breathe. And eventually you will smother to death. That was the method of execution by what they call crucifixion. It was impalement. Okay, put on a single stake. It did not have a crossbar on it. The symbol of the cross is inaccurate with all that Catholic ritual that goes with it. Now, verse 17 of chapter 2, he brought us good news, peace to you who were far off and peace to those near. He's talking about being far off, the nations in dispersion, and those near, the Israelites, the true Israelites that were in Jerusalem. You can reference Isaiah chapter 57, verse 19. Chapter 57, verse 19 in Isaiah. The far off, those in dispersion, okay? Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Well, they were called strangers and foreigners by the circumcised Edomites in Jerusalem because they were in dispersion. Oh, they're foreigners. They're not of us. Well, they are of Israel. They were in dispersed in punishment, and Yahweh is gathering everybody home. You know what? If you live in America, we don't live over in Palestine and Jerusalem. Does that make us not Israelites? Because the ones that are over there are not Israelites. They're not Israel. They're fakers. Verse 19. Oh, man, I had a frog. I had a cough. I'm sorry. Get a little drink of that hot coffee. Wet that whistle. Verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the set apart ones. In other words, these Israelites in dispersion in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, were still Israelites. They were fellow citizens of the set apart ones. Those that believed on Yeshua are part of the remnant. And members of the household of Elohim. They're part of Yahweh's family, their children. Remember when he said the placement as sons? That's who they're the sons of the household. Reference Romans for chapter 19, or verse 19. Romans chapter 11. Verses 17 through 24, that's Romans 11, 17 through 24, and Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1, Isaiah 14, 1. Okay, verse 22, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of Elohim in the Spirit. In other words, we're all joined in the Spirit, being into a set-apart people, the dwelling place in Yahweh. We are His inheritance. We give Him glory. We call on His name, not the Lord and God. Okay? Well, here is chapter 3. There are a lot less notes in this chapter. It also requires a continuous reading without a break. I'm not going to give verse numbers because it breaks it up. And it needs to be read as it's written. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Because of this, I, Shaul, the prisoner of Yahshua Messiah on behalf of you nations. If indeed you have heard of the administration of the favor of Elohim that was given to me for you, that by revelation was made known to me the secret as I wrote before briefly. In reading this, then, you are able to understand my insight into the secret of Messiah, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His set-apart emissaries and prophets. The nations to be co-heirs, united in the same body and partakers together in the promise in Messiah through the good news, of which I became a servant according to the gift of the favor of Elohim given to me according to the working of His power. To me, the very least of all the set-apart ones, this favor was given, to bring the good news of the unsearchable riches of Messiah among the nations, and to make all see how this secret is administered, which for ages past has been hidden in Elohim, who created all through Yahshua, Messiah. So that now, through the assembly, the many-sided wisdom of Elohim might be known to the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies, according to the everlasting purpose which He made in Messiah Yahshua, our Master, in whom we have boldness and access with reliance through belief in Him. I pray, therefore, that you do not lose heart at my pressures on your behalf, which is your esteem. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Master Yahshua Messiah, from whom all fatherhood in the heavens and earth is named, in order that He might give you, according to the riches of His esteem, by power to be strengthened in the inner man through His Spirit, that the Messiah might dwell in your hearts through belief, having become rooted and grounded in love, in order that you might be strengthened to firmly grasp with all the set-apart ones, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Messiah which surpasses knowledge, in order that you might be filled to all the completeness of Elohim. And to him who is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us, to him be esteem in the assembly by Messiah Yeshua unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, that ends chapter 3. Let's go through the verses here. Verse 1, he calls himself the prisoner of Yeshua. In other words, he is captivated by the Holy Spirit. He can do no less than what he's doing. He cannot break away from preaching about Yeshua. He's locked up in that regard. Verses 4, 5, and 6 reference Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 for those three verses, 4, 5, and 6. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Okay. Verse 6 alone, just 6, you can reference Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 24. Romans 11, 17 through 24. And Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. Isaiah 14, 1. All right, and he says in verse 6, the nations to be co-heirs. These are not pagan nations. These are the nations of Israel in dispersion. United in the same body, that's the remnant, and partakers together in the promise in Messiah through the good news. Okay. Verse 8. He humbles himself to me, the very least of all the set apart ones. Why? Because at one time he was a persecutor of the Christians. And he was called by Yeshua himself, appeared to him. So he thinks very little of himself or his life. He is going to just keep preaching until they kill him at Rome. That's what's going to happen. Verse 9. Okay. It states quite clearly that Elohim created all through Yeshua Messiah. The word spoke. Well, that was Yeshua. Yeshua was here at the creation. Okay. I knew you before the foundation of the world. Okay. Whoa. And for verse 9 of chapter 3, reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 3. That's 3 Maccabees 2, verse 3, and the book of John, chapter 1, verse 3. That's John 1. Verse 3. Let's go down to verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with reliance through belief in him. You have a direct line praying in the name of Yeshua right to the Father. The Father will listen. He will hear your prayer. All right. Verse 15, from whom all fatherhood in the heavens and earth is named. That is lineage or paternal descent, okay? That's what that fatherhood right there means, lineage or paternal descent. right, verse 17, that the Messiah might dwell in your hearts through belief, having become rooted and grounded in love. He would dwell in your hearts. And you can reference Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, for verse 17. Galatians 2, 20, for verse 17. Verse 18, the reference for verse 18 is Sirach, in your Apocrypha, chapter 1, verse 3. Sirach 1, verse 3. Verse 19. To know the love of Messiah, which surpasses knowledge. Whew. His love is so awesome. You can never fully grasp it, especially in these bodies. Verse 20, and to him, speaking of Yahweh, who is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think according to the power that is working in us, the Holy Spirit working in the set apart ones. And we do things and can do things that people that are not part of the remnant, they are unable to do those things. They don't have the protection that the Father extends. They don't have the insight. Their minds and hearts are not opened. The ones he does not call, the ones he does not want, they're out in the cold. I mean, they're just hit. What can I say? And there are many, and I hate to say this, many in Israel that have hardened their hearts and rejected the message so often that they have seared their very soul and made it unredeemable. That he doesn't want anything to do with them. He's not going to speak to them. He's not going to mess with their life if they make money or they don't make money. He's just going to abandon them. Because they have abandoned him. They're living totally in this world by the flesh. They love it. They don't want any part of spirituality. They don't want any part of Yahweh. And they doom themselves. He's not dooming them. He's giving them an opportunity, as he did to all of us, for redemption. And those of us that are redeemed, it may be given to us. I mean, even if you're not a preacher, okay, you're not a preacher, but you're one of the remnant, and you truly believe and you truly love Yahweh and Yeshua, you get an opportunity to talk to another one that's sitting on the fence, that's of Israel. You can witness. That's your work here. Everybody gets a chance to witness. Everybody can do it. Don't say, oh, I don't know how to do. Yeah, you do. Somebody loved you enough to tell you the truth. So you need to love your brethren enough to tell them the truth. You got to pass it on. Pass that good news on. That's how it's spread. It's not all done in a church. It's done one-on-one, Israelite to Israelite. Israelite to Israelite. The way you live your life, if you live a godly life and you really try to be obedient and set apart, other Israelites are going to see that in you, and they're going to ask you, what makes you so different? Why are you this way when everybody else is that way? And then that opens that door to that Israelite. That Israelite is inquiring. He's seeking. He's being drawn to Yahweh. And you might be the one to give him the good news, to give him the message. This is why I live the way I live and the way I behave, the way I behave because of my Redeemer. And you go on from there and use the proper names Yahweh and Yahshua. Well, who is this Yahshua? Well, that's the one that everybody else is calling Jesus. But that's not his name. You can explain that. You can do that. Don't tell me you can't do that. Of course you can. Of course you can. And once you do this a couple of times, it gets easier and easier and easier to break that ice and to give that message to each different individual. I mean, you're not sermonizing. You're not shoving it down anybody's throat. You're speaking as a brother and a friend to a brother and a friend. You're talking to another Israelite. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, your neighbor, that's your brother Israelite, wherever they are. They're family. Why wouldn't you want to share this with family members? All Israelites are brothers to other Israelites. That's the message of all of this, this whole new covenant. This covenant was created for the redemption of Israel. Why hide it and keep it to yourself? Why? Why would you do that? You were awakened. The Holy Spirit drew you. Well, if it's drawn another Israelite, you might be the sower of the seed that'll bring that Israelite into the remnant. And you should be filled with joy with that prospect. Really. It's marvelous. It is. It's absolutely marvelous, the sharing of the good news. Why do you think I have such a good time doing these shows? I'm talking about my Father in heaven, Yahweh, and my Lord and Savior, Yahshua. Now, how can I not be joyful? How can I not be excited? I get down because the world gets me down. Because this world is not godly. It's a wicked world. And the only good thing I've got, the only good thing I have in this world, this order of arrangement, is the knowledge and the love of my Father and of Yahshua. That's the only thing that's worth anything. No stuff can equal that. Well, I'm going to get out of here. I'll catch you on the next show. I'll be beginning chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. And we'll take her from there. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll catch you on the next show.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.